Welcome to the house of God. My voice is a bit funny, but nevertheless, don't listen to my voice, listen to the voice of God. Hallelujah. It's always great to fellowship and get to know one another. One of the things that I'm beginning to discover more and more as I grow older is that the senses begin to, you know, get older. So the eyesight nowadays, you know, have to move things further away so they can see. Hearing, you know, you have to make sure the person speaks louder so that you can hear. Today we conclude our series. We've been talking about this a couple of weeks now already. On the five senses and how, you know, we need to connect. And as I was praying about, you know, how do we put all this together? One word comes to mind, and that is faith. God has given us, you know, senses. And it's amazing. I did, you know, researchers say this, you know, I looked it up a little bit. How far can we see? Researchers say this. On a dark, clear night, if you light a candle, you should be able to see it, not 1 mile away, not 2 miles away, but we are in kilometers, right? 48.2 kilometers away. That's almost to Kulim already, if you drop a drop of perfume in a three-room apartment, 1,005 square feet, your nose will be able to pick up that one drop. If you drop 1 gram of salt in 500 liters of water, taste is so powerful that 1 gram of salt in 500 liters, that's a whole lot of water, okay? You'll be able to taste that salt. Your fingertips, right? Researchers say that if it is compressed, okay, your skin is pressed in at your fingertips, if there's pressure there, 0.001 millimeter, you will be able to feel it. Touch. Our hearing. My hearing not so good already, you know. But it is said that we can determine where the sound comes from because one ear picks it up and gives you the direction before the other ear, right? And the difference between that one to the other is 0.0003 seconds. And that difference causes you to tell which direction sound is coming from. Go Google it up. That's what I did. God has given us fantastic senses. And it's a wonderful creation of God. But today I want to talk about, you know, how these five senses come together at different levels. I'm going to use this as an illustration, as different levels of our faith. This is the year of connection. And we want to talk about connecting with God. We want to talk about connecting with the church as well as connecting with the community. And I'm going to put down these five senses into different levels because we can see it and learn from what Scripture says at these five levels. Firstly, the first sense at the most basic level is the sense of hearing. It's the sense of hearing. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us that faith comes from hearing. And hearing what? The Word of God, right? Faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Senses a bit off. Isaiah 55 and verse 3. There we are. Well, let's just read from verse 1. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters and you will have, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Let me read from here. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast sure love for David. The phrase that I like us to take note is right in verse 3. Incline your ear, lean forward. Lean forward, make sure your ear is in the right direction, and come to me that your soul may live. Jesus said that he has come to give us life and life to the full. John chapter 10. Right? And for us as believers, one of the things that we need to constantly ask ourselves is this. How are we living our lives? Because God's intent is that we live our life full, abundant, some version says. Right? And here it says that, hey, listen. Listen so that your soul will live. Meaning to say that we can't be satisfied, we can't live life to the full if we are not listening. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5 tells us that there's a group of people, and we shouldn't be like that. There are certain people who has a form of godliness, but yet it, you know, they deny its power. Paul warns Timothy, you know, have nothing to do with these kind of people. These kind of people, there's a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. Meaning to say that there are people who look like they are godly, but in its essence, they are not living life to the full. Why? Because they don't experience, they don't exercise the power of God that lives, that dwells within them. In fact, there's a question whether the power of God really dwells within them or not. First level. We need to hear. Not only with our outward ears, okay? With our inward ears, our spiritual ears. Because hearing is an exercise of faith in the spirit. Then only can we see the next level and perceive what God is saying. Perceive how God is doing things. When we see, when we hear what God is saying, then only can we understand and discover the precious word, the precious things that God is doing. Psalms 27 and verse 4. Psalms 27 verse 4, the psalmist says, one thing. Alright, one thing I ask of the Lord. Okay. One thing that I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. The psalmist says, I want to dwell in the presence of God. I want to be there so that I can see, so that I can gaze at the beauty of the Lord. Hearing, listening should not be enough. I mean, that's the first level, right? And I think we need to ask ourselves this question, constantly pause and ask ourselves, how much are we hearing? What are we hearing from the Lord? You know, if you think back, if you remember the messages that we talked about, you know, we need to, because that caused us to move to the next level. It caused us to act. And here, putting out all the five senses, you know, hearing then caused us to want to be able to see what God is doing. When you read scripture and the Bible gives us promises, what's the next thing that happens? We want to experience, we want to see those promises, right? You cannot or should not just read the word and say, you know, this is what God is saying. Yeah, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's it, close, go back, you know, go and do whatever you. It must cause us to move to the next level to want to see what God is doing. To see what God is doing. Isaiah 45 and verse 22 says this, 22-23. Let's just read those two verses. Turn to me and be saved. Alright, Isaiah says this, turn to me, the Lord says, right, and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I've sworn, from my mouth has gone out in righteousness, a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. Turn to me and be saved. Earlier we read on, it says, here, lean your ear so that your soul will be saved. And here in Isaiah it says, turn. Turn to me. In certain versions it says, look at me and be saved. The King James, I believe, he says, look at me and be saved. That's the next level. And so we need to ask ourselves, are we constantly listening? Because these two come very close with each other. Once we begin to listen, we need to move to the next level to begin to gaze, to look at what God is doing. Are we doing that in our daily lives? I remember when I was in Hawaii for a short Bible course. We had 3 weeks there. And one of the things that we did was early morning on our off day, we drove, I don't know, an hour or so, woke up at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning, and cold then, you know, everybody take blanket, throw the blanket in the car, drove for about an hour or so. Why? To see sunrise, okay? And apparently, everybody there said, I can't even remember which mountain we drove up. But we were there, we drove for an hour or so, and then everybody said, must go and see the sunrise. So, almost the whole college went to see the sunrise, Everybody drove up, throw the blanket inside, and, you know, we were standing, drove out the mountain. We were standing there on the mountain, blanket all covered up, in the cold. Everybody is like, yes, what are we doing here? See sunrise, okay. And we stood there for about half an hour in the cold. I mean, there are lots of other people around, okay. It's like a tourist attraction. Everybody goes up there to see sunrise. So we just stood there half an hour in the cold. And for the first couple of minutes, we're, you know, all excited, you know, sunrise, Like to see sunrise, Prefer sunrise than sunset, right? Yeah. Okay. I'm the one who prefers sunrise. See sunset a lot, but sunrise better than sunset, yeah? So we're all there. First couple of minutes, we're all excited because sunrise, okay? We drove for an hour or so. Sunrise. After about 10 minutes, we're like, hey, what are we doing here? Why? Because it was so cold, right? And, you know, some of us didn't even take our blanket there, you know, just put jacket, not enough. and we're all huddling. But then, after about half an hour or so in the cold, then we begin to see a little bit glimmer. One or two rays that come up. And then you can hear everybody, all this commotion. Look, 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 look. And everybody who was asleep, standing there, suddenly come alive, you know. Because they've been there waiting, some people more than, or rather waiting longer than us, because when we were there, there was quite a crowd there already. And suddenly everybody in the whole mountain become alive. Everybody got excited. And we stood there, just for a couple of minutes, in silence, after everybody got excited. Then everybody stopped. Focus and get it. It was not only the sight, you know, but it's what everybody was doing, you know. Everybody was, oh, sunrise is coming, it's coming, it's coming. Then after that, silence. Because everybody was gaze at this awesome sight on top of the mountain of the sunrise. Things like that must cause us to remember, to reflect, and to dig deeper in our spirit to ask ourselves how much, if we can look at the physical world and go, oh, so nice, how much then do we pause, stop, gaze at God, gaze at who He is, what He is doing, and say, wow. To pause everything. Don't even talk to your friend next to you. And don't even, you're not even bothered about the cold because we've been standing there for the last half an hour, right? And for those few minutes, all that didn't matter. Because of the beauty of what we were gazing our eyes upon. And so we need to pause and ask ourselves, how much of God do we pause and say, wow, do you see that? That was God. And how often do we talk about, hey, do you see that? That was God. How often do wow moments happen in our life? And we know it's a wow moment because God was there. Have you, and I know I have, guilty, been at the beach or, you know, watch the sunset, and like, ah, yeah, sunset lah. Then you walk away. While our friends, hey, come, watch sunset, hey. And they're standing there, you know, they, and we're like, ah, sunset only lah, every day also got. We walk away. You know, sometimes we do that with God, you know. Because God's doing something, His presence is there, and we are like, ah, we walk away. And our friends, our church members say, hey, come, you know, let's experience this amazing thing that's happening. And then we say, in our spirit, it's just the sunset. We fail to experience what God is doing in our lives. And so, hear, see, what God is doing. And He's doing great and mighty things, the Bible tells us, right? In our midst, great and mighty things. The third is smell. When we admire something, when we admire God, and then we begin, as we go deeper, we will then discover how fragrant it is. As we walk by faith, exercise faith, we begin to enter into a deeper level where we can smell God's fragrance. Listen, see, and smell. Psalm 45. Psalm 45, let's read from verse 6 to 8. Psalm 45 and 6. says this, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And verse 8 says, your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia, from ivory palaces. String instruments make you glad. This passage talks about the king. The king of kings, the reference to the king of kings. And he says that your robes, it's not only, you know, when you talk about the king's robes, we are not only talking about its beauty. But here the Bible says the robes are filled with fragrance. It's fragrant. Last 2 weeks, we talk about smell, right? We talk about it from two perspectives. One is that we smell. We smell to God and we smell to each other. Okay, whatever we do releases a certain fragrance to God and to those that are around us. And then we talked about God is fragrant. Come and smell Him. Because as we move closer, as we draw closer, we begin to smell, and we begin to encounter a deeper level of who God is. When you hear, then you begin to see. But as you exercise faith and draw closer, you begin to smell as well. And what happens then? And then something a little bit more active takes place physically. Touch. Touch. We saw in Luke chapter 8 as well as Mark chapter 5 about this woman who had an issue with blood. Let's turn to the one in Mark chapter 5 and, you know, just do a little bit of recap on some of the things that she said. Verse 28, Mark chapter 5 and verse 28 says, if only I touch his clothes, if only I touch, I will be healed. You know, Jesus was walking, there was a crowd around, everybody was cramming, and then he stopped and he said, who touched me? The disciples, you know, got a little bit upset. What do you mean, who touched you? You know, everybody is touching you. But Jesus said, no, there's different power. Power left. Power left. And power was received by this lady who had an issue of blood, who said, confess, you know, I'm the one. I thought that if I only reach out and touch, that's what she said. You know, if you read Luke chapter 8, it says, if I only reach out and touch the hem. In some versions, it says, the edge of his garment. Other versions, it says, the border of his garment. And so, this woman was thinking, if I only touch a little bit, just the edge, I will be healed. Faith must cause us, and if you understand the situation, you know, she had an issue of blood. At that point of time, culturally, you know, it's unclean. You don't walk the streets if you have an issue of blood. She went out by faith and said, if only, you can reach out, touch. As I was thinking about this, I thought about one of my first few experiences in Cameron Highlands. I don't know whether this still exists because I haven't been hiking in Cameron Highlands for a long, 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 long time. Maybe I was 13 years old when I first went there and hiked, you know, into the jungle in the path. I don't know. Anybody has been there recently? Hike up? No. Now we just go to Tanah Rata, eat roti canai and eat scones and all that. So anyway, we I was there, I was hiking in, and that time, in those days, right? It was still cold, you always go with, you know, jacket and, you know, and all that. Nowadays, you just wear shorts and jersey up to Cameron Highlands. And we hike up the trail, and this was one of my first experiences. In fact, I think it was my first to Cameron Highlands. Hiking up. Not just stay in Tanarata, okay? As I was hiking, one of the things that I saw, I still remember the scene, is a wall, okay, a rock, basically, full of green moss. That was it, alright? At that point of time, okay, now I don't know whether I will still, you know, react the same way as I did then. Probably not, you know. But at that point of time, when I saw this wall of green moss, I'm like, oh, look at this, like carpet like that, you know. And all of us, we're all teenagers then, I know, went up for camp. Put a hand there, put a face there, you know, moss. Haven't seen carpet moss before on a rock. And haven't seen it at that large a scale. Okay, so we were all summer cooling and wet, you know, we were hiking all, so it doesn't really matter, we're all sweaty anyway. So, you know, we put all our hands, almost practically hugged the rock. Why? Because we haven't seen such a big panel of carpet moss before. Now you look at it and like, carpet moss, don't touch the tea. The same thing happens, you know, with sight, right? I remember the time whereby I stood and I just gazed. And this, when I was a teenager, I remember the time whereby that experience, I don't know whether I'll experience it again. Maybe, you know, have to go next level, do something else, you know. But at that point of time, seeing something, not good enough. We had to put our hands onto it. We had to, wow, what's that? And I remember, because we were there for a church, not really church, this was a Scripture Union camp there. So all the same age guys, we all there. And I remember at that point of time, at the end of the day reflection, you know, we talked about, you know, what we experienced and all that. I remember sharing that I experienced God out there. You look at it, you say, well, it's carpet moss on a huge rock. But then, at that point of time, I felt that God was there. God was revealing himself in a greater manner than just look at it and say, oh yeah, it's carpet moss. But when we reach out our hands, something else happens. And that's just a simple illustration of a day-to-day thing. This is not even at the level where this woman with the issue of blood reached out and said, you know, if I only touch, something will happen. But I'm giving you that illustration. The Lord reminded me of that illustration because it is sometimes the simple things that we miss that God is there. It's the simple things in our daily life that we miss reaching out and say, God, you know, I want to touch you. God, I want to go one step further. God, I want to, you know, do a little bit more. God, I want to exercise a little bit more because I want to experience a whole lot more. And so we need to come to that level of just moving. We need to move, all right, from hearing, seeing something, and then, wow, this is so nice. You remember I don't know if you experience this, walking up Cameron Highlands, you breathe in the air. So nice. There's something different about that place. But don't stop there. Reach out. Touch. Touch God. Then finally, number five, taste. Taste is when we experience the enjoyment, the delight, the peace and the communion that we have with God. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Okay, this one we have to scroll very quickly, okay? 41. The Jews were complaining about Jesus, right? And because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph? So Jesus, at that point of time, says, I am the bread. And you scroll down to verse 51, go down to 51, he says it again, the same thing. He says, I am, in verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Let's just go on and read this. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? All right, let's go on. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Wow. Okay, the early church got all messed up because of this passage. You know, they looked at it and said, what's this cannibalism at work here? If you understand what Jesus is saying, taste. Right? It's at that level whereby we experience fully. Fully. When you eat something, it's not just, it doesn't just, you know, satisfy your taste. It's not just that. But it does something to your whole body. It does something to your whole body. Psalm 119 verse 103 says, how sweet are your words? Psalm 119 verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste? So we need to ask ourselves this question. You look at John chapter 6, you know, Jesus says, you got to eat so you can have life, right? Obviously, he's not talking about cannibalism. He's talking about experiencing Jesus in his fullness. Your total being experiencing him. Not just hear. Not just see. Not just begin to smell the goodness of God and the grace of God. And moving on to touch, that leap of faith by saying, yeah, I'm going to do something about it. And then to taste and see. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste. And so I end today by asking ourselves, each one of us, bringing ourselves this challenge. Are we moving? If we are not at the level of tasting God yet, are we moving from one level to another, to another, to another? In order to begin our journey, we need to be hearing what God is saying. You need to spend time hearing the word of God. Because when we begin to do that, then it will take us to the next level to want to see what God is doing. We want to see who God is. Because if you don't hear, faith cannot arise. We're not going to want to see. And sometimes we stop at that level because we are not bothered about what we hear. You know, as they say, like in one ear, out the other. We forget And when that happens, you can know a lot of things, but you don't see God. You don't experience the next level of seeing who He is. And it doesn't take you then to the next level of just, you know, experiencing the fragrance of God. And then, you know, we ask ourselves very often, most of us, if not all of us, guilty, are guilty myself, you know, how come God no faith? How come it's so difficult to exercise faith to do something? Why? Because we have not moved from one to the other to the other. And therefore, it's very difficult for us to say, if I only can touch. If, you know, I'm going to do this, I know God's going to do something else in my life. Why is it that faith is not built up in us? Because we have not moved from one level to another, to another, to another in our senses. And then to come to the point whereby we totally consume God, so to speak. Because we are tasting who He is. Taste and see that God is good. Let's bow our heads right now. The psalmist says, oh, taste and see. Psalm 119 says, how sweet are your words to my taste. If you think about that Psalm 119, you know, those, the beginning and the ending levels of the senses are there. You know, the words talk about your hearing, right? And then the psalmist says, you know, how sweet are your words to my taste. It gives us the full range. Taste and see that God is good. And so I challenge each one of us as the Lord has challenged me. How are we moving up in the levels? Using our senses. Physically, we use our senses every single day. We will be so handicapped if we can't see properly, right? Hear properly. If we can't smell. If we can't touch. If we can't taste. And we use it all the time. Every day. Every moment, in fact. Our five senses. What about in the spirit? Could we then, right now, come before the Lord and say, Lord, if I'm honest with myself, I'm at this level. Maybe I'm just trying to hear. Maybe I'm just wanting to see, but I don't know what it means to just walk in and smell the fragrance of the Lord, to know that you are there. Even if I don't see, I know you're there, by because I can smell your fragrance, God. Perhaps some of us need to get off our seats, so to speak, exercise faith to say, God, I want to touch you. And we need to move from one level to the other. To say, Lord, at the end of the day, I want to taste. I want to experience God to the full. Everything that you have installed, Lord, I want to taste. So wherever you are, church, our commitment today must be, God, I want to go to the next level. And the next, and the next, and the next. Would you say a prayer to the Lord right now? And say, God, take me to the next level.